When it comes to teaching the complicated history of race in America, many Massachusetts teachers say textbooks are only one part of their lesson plans.
Well, the text doesn't really matter as much as the conversations, the writing, and the skills and critical thinking strategies that the students are using to tackle that text.
That's Amy McLeod, head of the curriculum department at Lowell High School, who says there's a movement away from textbooks. WBUR surveyed dozens of Massachusetts school districts about this, and we're providing that information in a series of reports this week. Tanya Mosley, senior reporter for WBUR's Edify, joins us to talk about this. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Deb.
So first off, tell us, what did you find in your survey of school districts?
Well, we contacted 283 school districts in the greater Boston area, and we heard back from 141 of them. And what we found was that almost every district said that in the last year, they've either talked about how they are teaching race in the classroom, or if they haven't discussed it, they should be. We also found that the materials used to teach racial history vary. So of the 141 districts we spoke with, we found that there were 48 different textbooks used, published by 21 different companies. What this exposed for us was that while the state provides clear guidelines on what to teach, it's at the discretion of the educators to decide how they teach it.
Hmm. Were there any patterns in how different schools teach the history of race in America, or patterns in the materials that they use?
Well, what we found was that in areas with higher minority populations, they were more likely to find other materials to teach from that speak to the minority experience. So only 23% of the districts we spoke with, however, use textbooks as a primary source. In contrast, more than 60% of the teachers we spoke with use other materials besides textbooks as primary sources for teaching U.S. history. And a big portion of those teachers use digital sources because, one, it costs less, and two, digital sources are more interactive and then can be added or changed over time to accurately reflect what they'd like to teach to the students. We spoke with Tabidi Brown. He's the principal of Cotman Academy in Dorchester, and he explained why his school has moved away from relying on textbooks to teach U.S. history.
Our students can't see themselves in most of the history of this country as rulers. And they have been told, I think, via history textbooks, that they are not powerful, that they are not influencers, that they are not the ones who are decision makers.
Hmm. And Tanya, you have another piece coming out tomorrow that looks at how teachers are talking about race in the classroom.
Yes, well, in light of what's been happening in our nation in Ferguson and with the presidential election, I found that many teachers here in the Commonwealth are having direct conversations about race and racial inequalities in their classrooms. Almost every district we spoke with said they've either had conversations about this with their staff over the summer or last year, or they've had it with their communities over the last year. And in the case of Brookline High School, for instance, they've developed a curriculum based on this. It's called Race and Identity. And so I spoke with a teacher there, Kate Leslie, a bit about what she'll be talking with the students about and why it's important.
I think students for multiple years have been very much itching to have more conversations about race and racism, and specifically to think about their own identity, how they fit into the world.
But even still, the topic of race is really a difficult one, especially for teachers who aren't comfortable having these discussions with their students.
All right. Well, Tanya, I look forward to your piece tomorrow, but stay with us because I would like to bring another voice into the conversation. With us in studio is Abby Erdman. She's a retired Brookline High School teacher who now teaches educators about how to have these types of conversations. Welcome, Abby.
Thank you so much.
So you found that many educators still have personal issues around race that may influence their teaching. Can you explain?
So I think as white educators, we are not given the tools to talk about race, to acknowledge our own race, and we certainly don't feel comfortable bringing it up in the classroom. I know that I didn't until I started to lean into the work. Mm-hmm. We're afraid we'll make a mistake, we'll offend somebody. I think the issue is really different for black educators, but, you know, many white educators are struggling with this.
So what was a big challenge for you that you had to learn how to deal with so you could lean in?
So fear. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of held back by fear and guided by the gut. And just feeling that it was so, so important that students had have an opportunity in the classroom to speak about these issues. Mm-hmm. They were everywhere. The issues were everywhere, and I just had to give them permission to say, this is going to be a classroom where it's okay to talk about race. Mm. And we are going to do our best to have safe and challenging conversations. Mm.
Do you think that it helps most students, or are there perhaps some students who, in listening to these conversations, may realize that this is more of an issue than they initially thought it might be? You know, students who were never raised with any sort of prejudices or anything else.
Yeah, I think it's very easy for any of us white people to be clueless. Mm-hmm. And, you know, white students are no different from white teachers. I felt very clueless when I started doing this work. And I think it takes us really paying attention, reading, talking, listening, being open. And so I'd say it's been an amazing thing to watch students who, you know, weren't aware of race, weren't comfortable talking about it, suddenly go, I see it everywhere now.
Right. Do you find folks questioning your credentials because you're a 69-year-old white woman doing this? Right. Sorry to say how old you were.
That's fine. I'm kind of proud of it. You know, the age can work both ways. Hmm. And, you know, now I have been at the work for 15 years, 20 years. And so I have some experience under my belt. I don't feel at all uniquely qualified. I just feel like I've been drawn to do this work. And I feel if it's not me, then who? If it's not me, then who's going to do the work?
Right. I'm wondering, you know, we heard this piece of tape from Tabiti Brown, right, the principal of Codman Academy in mm-hmm. Dorchester, saying that in history, a lot of students cannot see themselves as rulers. Yet we have President Obama, right? So how does that affect the teaching of race in America?
I think we have to change who is on our walls, who's in our curriculum. I mean, I'm an English teacher, so there have to be text, great text, beautiful text, beloved Malcolm X, that are taught in the curriculum that, you know, students of color can see themselves in and white students can learn from. Mm. I mean, it's a deprivation for white students just as much for black students if the curriculum is very, very narrow. Mm. I had a class once called Great Books, and, you know, I asked the kids to vote on what books, and they made a list, Pride and Prejudice, et cetera, and a couple of my kids who had taken the class on race and identity the year before said, we can't have a curriculum that's all white. And so we added Beloved, and it turned out to be everyone's favorite book.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of debate in the higher ed realm about safe spaces, you know, trigger warnings, things like that. Have these things come up for you at all in the high school classrooms?
So when I taught about race, the whole class was devoted to race. And so we spent the first week talking about what does it look like to have a safe discussion, but what does it look like to have a hard discussion? Hmm. If we just stay safe, we're probably not having a very real discussion. And so we've talked about ways to be both honest and assume good intentions and assume that we're all learning here. Because I think, you know, the tendency for many white students is to pull back and say, oh, I'm sorry, oh, I don't, you know, and not really say, here's what I'm feeling right now. And if people don't, again, I have to go back to your piece, God, talk about the gut, then they're not really in the discussion.
Right. Go ahead.
So one of the techniques that I've borrowed from a great organization that was called EMI and became IDEA is the word ouch. And what happened is that we said, we're going to use the word ouch. And if people are offending, someone in the room can say ouch, just to reflect back to that person, not you're stupid, not you've made a mistake, just ouch, that's hurtful. Hmm. And then we can have that discussion. So I used to say to the kids, don't be afraid, you know, because how will we know how to have these discussions unless we make mistakes? Hmm. We are going to make mistakes.
Is there an anecdote that stands out in your mind when you think about how you started teaching educators about this and where you are now? Is there something that when you're describing this to folks, you know, a story from either teaching teachers or teaching students?
Yeah. Well, let me just say, when I started doing this, I was, you know, 35 years into teaching, and I felt like a brand new teacher. And I asked for a lot of help and support. And I finally got more used to it and less afraid of it. I I think a comment that stands out was one that was made in my very first class by a student who was white and tall and handsome and privileged and clueless. And, you know, he would have been the first to say it. And at the very end of the class, I was asking them, what did you learn? And this student turned and said, I think I learned that when people of color speak, it's my job to listen.
All right. Well, Abby Erdman, retired Brookline High School teacher who now teaches educators about how to talk about race, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Also, Tanya Mosley, senior education reporter here at WBUR. You can hear her reporting on Morning Edition on WBUR and at WBUR.org. Tanya, thanks so much.
Thank you, Deb.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.